thanks so much for taking the time to come on the program.
My pleasure.
So, first things first, so more and more young Australians are being diagnosed with cancer, but the survival rate has surprisingly increased. What are some of the long-term side effects that these survivors experience?
So, people who've had a diagnosis of cancer as an adolescent or young adult are faced with an increased risk of a second cancer, so that's important. But also they've had interrupted schooling very often, have interrupted career entry. They can experience things like discrimination in relation to insurance, and that's on top of the emotional and physical impacts that might have come from both their cancer and its treatment.
Right, right. That's really depressing, honestly. That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, the positive news is that 89% of people diagnosed in this age group survive their cancer. So overall, that's a good news story, and that survival has gone up from 80% over the last 20 years. It seems to have stalled a little bit now, and it's obviously also uneven. So very high survival from things like melanoma, as well as a decreasing incidence rate. Same with cervical cancer, but very much poorer survival for things like brain tumours, which are harder to diagnose and harder to treat.
Yeah. So these rates are increasing in young Australians, which are mainly ranging from ages like 15 to 24 years old, so really young. What are some of the kinds of environmental and behavioural risk factors that may be affecting this rise with these age groups?
So interestingly, in adolescents and young adults, a little bit like in pediatrics, there's not a lot of known risk factors that are environmental. So clearly melanoma has an environmental impact in terms of sun exposure, and we're seeing those rates decreasing by 54% in this report. So that's a really good news story. Where we do see some concerning increases is things like bowel cancer, which are likely to be due both to family history of familial bowel cancers, but also are related to our rising obesity problem and also poor diet, particularly a lack of fresh fruit and vegetables.
Mm-hmm. So as you said before, you brought up melanoma. Melanoma is still one of the most prevalent forms of cancer affecting young Australians. And as rates of the skin cancer have fallen in recent years, do you think that we're doing enough?
So the rates would suggest that we're certainly doing something right, and Sun Smart primary schools is important. We see that tailor off in secondary schools, so we'd certainly like to see more of that. And we certainly see more young people being Sun Smart. But if you head to the beach on any summer weekend, you also see a whole lot of young people who are taking risks with their skin. And melanoma isn't just the cancer of young people, it's a cancer that will continue to be at increased risk for throughout their lives. So we would certainly like to see more emphasis on continuing sun safe behaviours after primary school.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're just tuning into The Daily, we're talking to Professor Sanchia Aranda, CEO of the Cancer Council Australia, on the rise of cancer in young adults. So, Sanchia, being in Australia, we hear a lot about skin cancers. What other prevalent cancers are found in young Australians that we might not hear as much about?
So, in terms of prevalent cancers, the next most common is the germ cell cancer, so things like testicular teratoma and seminomas that occur in men, and some similar cancers like that in the ovaries in women. These are cancers that have been sort of developing since they were babies or embryos. They're also really readily treatable. But some of the challenges of diagnosing cancer in young adults is that, or young adolescents and young adults, is that many of the cancers are not suspected. It's not the first thing that comes to mind when a young person presents to their GP. And you often hear stories of people having to repeatedly present with symptoms. And so some of the common cancers are great to treat, like Hodgkin's lymphoma, but others are more difficult, like brain tumours. So we do want young people to be aware that cancer is the biggest burden of disease-related occurrence in these young people. And so presenting to the doctor early with symptoms that are strange is really important.
Yeah, of course, because, like, you know, when you're young, you don't really think much about cancer because it seems like something that's only happening at an older age. But from these statistics, it's showing that it's actually happening more at a younger age, which is very sad.
So two to three people in the 15 to sort of 24-year age group every day. So that is common enough for us to be alert and certainly want to get the messages out more to young people that it is a possibility.
Yeah, of course. Well, to end it on a lighter note, can you talk to us about some of the positive findings of the report?
So the positive findings of the report are that we're seeing a decrease in melanoma and cervical cancer, and the cervical cancer one's important in that this is the first cohort of people where some of them will be have been recipients of the HPV vaccine, and we're starting to see them now coming through with lower rates of cervical cancer. We still want them to participate in HPV DNA testing from the age of 25, so getting alert to that if they're at the end of that this cohort. With the other positive message is that survival is at 89%, so make sure you do get to your doctor early and give yourself the best chance of survival. And to be aware that the government have invested in a national service development delivery framework for adolescents. There are adolescent centres, adolescent and young adult centres around the country, where they really do take account of the tailored support needs that young people have. So the services are improving every day.
Awesome. That's so good to hear. Well, Santia, thank you so much for joining us. I've had an absolute pleasure talking to you about such an important thing.
My pleasure, Ruby. Thanks.